Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and look at this team that I've got for a Wednesday PGA Championship live chat. I'm sure there will be weather questions. I'm sure there will be wind questions. I'm sure there will be first round leader questions. We'll get to all of them. So make sure you comment in the chat. Tell us what you got. Ask your questions, and we'll rock and roll through this to the best of our ability. Some familiar faces. Greg Ducharme is here rocking the Titleist cap. Very good choice. Welcome in, Greg.
Thank you. Very happy to be here. I'm really excited for this event. I think there's so much speculation on the golf course and the weather, and it's going to be really fun to break it all down. I know I've had a blast trying to decipher everything we have going on.
Wild speculation is the name of the game this week. Sia Nejad is here. Sia, good to see you.
Weather? What weather? Am I behind? Is there some wind or something?
Honestly, I'm not. You probably don't even have to worry about it.
Yeah. Okay, good. Great.
Andy Lack is here. Andy, every time we try to guess the weather correctly, seems to backfire. Maybe we should just ignore that entire conversation.
You know, this Wednesday has all the fantastic makings of everything you want the day before a major championship. You've got the Hideki cannonball thrown into the mix. You've got, now people are saying, are they going to delay the tournament on Friday or Saturday morning? It's fun. And I'm excited to break it all down with this wonderful room of people here with me.
I'm pretty sure this is the time of the week, especially during a major championship, you just plug your ears, and that is the most successful strategy that you can actually deploy. Patrick McDonald making his first cut podcast debut. Patrick, my guy, a couple weeks in with CBS Sports. First off, welcome to the team. We're excited to have you.
Thank you. Yeah. And, you know, I was saying behind the screen, I feel like Rory 19 at Portrush, a little first tee nerves here. But, you know, we'll ride the ship, and happy to join you guys.
Awesome. Love it. Well, we won't kick you out halfway through the podcast. So you're already better than Rory. Guaranteed four rounds on this show. But gentlemen, let's jump into this. I see the questions are coming in. We'll grab some of those in just a minute, but let's just do the weather thing. Okay. So likely wind is going to be the big storyline. Greg, I know that you've always got your finger on the pulse of everything that's going on. It's really only actionable if the wind is going to be different for some guys and not for others. Otherwise, I don't really care. What do you see on this Wednesday afternoon?
Well, it seems like you're going to get a little bit of on Thursday morning, you'll have maybe some softer winds, but not for a very long time. I mean, they get up near 15 miles an hour pretty early on in the day, at least 10. And then at like 6 o'clock, they get up to maybe 17 miles an hour. So is there a huge difference between 12-mile-an-hour winds that the morning guys are going to face, 17-mile-an-hour winds as guys are starting to finish their rounds? I don't think it's a huge difference. But what we have seen, what we saw at Augusta National was after, say, 5 o'clock at night, the winds really calmed down. And so the leaders, I'm thinking of Scottie Scheffler on Saturday, when he was finishing that round, the winds really laid down. It doesn't seem like we're going to get that this week. So maybe the afternoon plays a little bit more challenging, but I don't think it's a huge difference. And then when you get into Friday, you're kind of right off the rip, you're looking at 20-mile-an-hour winds Friday morning. So perhaps a slight advantage, a slight edge to the guys that are going off Thursday, the guys going off Thursday morning, because they'll get a little reprieve maybe for the first nine. But then after that, it seems like it's going to be, aside from any delays, it's going to be a pretty steady south wind.
Is it worth taking action on, Andy, or are we just staying pat? Do we need to start stacking waves?
I think so, but I always say I'm not a meteorologist or a financial advisor, and I'm
that's okay. You can just act, like one on this show. It doesn't matter.
Well, people ask me what to do, and I like what's important for people to consider is risk tolerance here, right? You have to ask yourself the question about what you're playing for, right? Are you comfortable being wrong? Are you comfortable losing all your money in 1 week in pursuit of a small edge? I tend to play pretty aggressively. So if I see that there is going to be a potential edge or a potential advantage, I'm going to take it. I'm also comfortable being wrong, right? I'm also comfortable whiffing. So I agree with Greg. I thought Greg did a pretty good job of breaking it down. I do see an advantage for the guys that are going off on Thursday morning and are playing Friday afternoon as well. I don't know if I would put every single one of my eggs into that basket. I've been texting with a couple caddies all week and a couple guys that are on the grounds today. And the running joke in Oklahoma is that like predicting the weather the day before is an absolute fool's errand. So yes, I see an advantage right now, but I would also consider the fact that this could get flipped on its head.
When you start combining what we think the weather might do, Patrick, and what we've seen of the golf course this week, as we are getting plenty of footage, plenty of action, plenty of tweets, all that fun stuff, has it changed the way that you thought Southern Hills was going to play this week?
Not really, right? I think everyone kind of thinks this place is going to play pretty tough, winning score. I've seen over-unders around like 270.5, something like that. And yeah, I think I'm in agreement with Greg and Andy, what they've said so far. And Shane Lowry in his press conference, they're like, yeah, I mean, these conditions, your name at the top, it should be you. He's like, yeah, I feel like I've already won this tournament, you know, jokingly saying that. But it's going to be a guy who has the complete package, right? He has to be phenomenal tee to green, and he has to make those 8 to 10 foot par saves when they're required. So it hasn't really changed too much what I'm thinking.
I'm trying to look for winning score props here. See, okay, this one from a website that doesn't exist. 275 and a half. So that would be what? So 280 is par. So that would be 4.5 under par, right? Am I doing the math correctly there? So what side of 275 and a half would you like?
In terms of the winning score, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, so I would probably take, and that's weird with those numbers in terms of taking the over the under. I think the score
you would take it's either going to be 5 under or better, right? Or you would take it would be 4 under or worse.
I think it'll end up being 5 under or better. I mean, you always have with even these tough tracks and tough conditions, you always have a couple of outliers that end up, you know, winning the tournament. So I think you'll probably, like, in my opinion, I think the winning score is probably right around that, but I could absolutely see one or two guys in that like -6, -7 type score, especially if there are a couple days where the wind calms down. And I do want to say, from a stacking standpoint, especially if we're talking about DFS, I am not usually super aggressive when it comes to stacks. I do think there's more of a distinct wind advantage tomorrow and Friday versus other tournaments. So I will be doing mostly Thursday a.m., Friday p.m. stacks. I just wanted to put that out there.
The under 275 and a half, so 5 under or better, is the favorite, -140. Could I interest any of you in the other side of that? I could offer you +115 if you want the carnage side. Going once?
I don't think so. I'm with Sia only because if you look at Sunday, if Sunday was as bad as the other couple of days, I would say, yes, I'm interested. But Sunday is the day where it looks like it's supposed to calm down a little bit.
Yeah, and that was my initial thought as well. Like when, you know, I did a little Monday weather report, which is not really a very good idea. And it looked like the winds were going to be 5 to 10 miles an hour, 70 to 73 degrees. And nice and sun, like a perfect day for scoring. But I'm seeing now today a south wind again at 15 miles an hour and much, much hotter. I'm also seeing, so it's changed in today's Wednesday in just 2 days. It looks like Saturday is not going to be as cool. I expected Saturday to get into, you know, we're going to have that wind flip to the north. and it was going to get really cool. And now it's saying a south wind again at 14 miles an hour and 88 degrees again. So it feels like it's changing. What's it going to say on Thursday? What's it going to say on Friday about the weekend? So I think it's very hard to predict that winning score at this point, because it's changed so dramatically. Initially, it's almost like an entire weather front that was going to move through is not going to move through now.
Okay, I think I'm done playing meteorologist for this show. Keep the questions coming. We'll get to them here in just 1 second, but we'll cover the Hideki Matsuyama stuff that Andy alluded to at the top. So this is via Tracking Hideki on Twitter, and it's referenced in a Yahoo Japan article that if you use Google Translate, Patrick, you can get some interesting information here. So it seems as if Hideki has developed pain in the neck again. He says, and don't quote me on the translation here, but the article says, the quote is, "I'm not in bad condition, but my neck hurts again. I'm planning to go around and play 18 tomorrow." He's referring to today, Wednesday, "but I will decide in the morning. Haven't heard anything since." Hideki has not always been, Patrick, a very reliable narrator of his own talent. Remember when he was a 1 out of 10 before winning a golf tournament? I mean, is this plug your ears and move on, or should I actually care about this?
Yeah, I think I'd be more concerned if I didn't hear anything about Hideki's neck, to be honest with you. And I mean, he was on the golf course this morning. You saw like Getty images roll in with a few shots of Hideki on the course. So I'm not too concerned. It's a different part of the neck, right? It's the shoulder blade. So yeah, plug your ears. I think he'll be fine. He's got the good stack. He's in the AM PM wave, and I'm heavily invested in him. So I'm a little biased there, but yeah, I like Hideki, and I think he'll be okay.
I too am heavily invested in Hideki Matsuyama, so not the tweet that I wanted to wake up to on a Wednesday morning. Andy, you brought this up at the top of the show. Are you pressing the panic button? What's your level of concern here?
I'm with Patrick. I'm curious to see if he gets. I'm curious to see. I know with the Japanese media, I think he has more obligations with them. I think he's already done, I'm not sure if he's already done a regular American press conference, but I think he is supposed to speak with Japanese media again later this afternoon. I'm not sure on that. I'm going to have to ask around a little bit. You know, the first thing that I thought about was the Zozo 2, Rick, where he talked about how his game was a 1 out of 10, and then he went on to win the tournament. The only difference between this that scares me a little bit is I think at the Zozo, he was referring to the fact that he's just not playing good golf right now, whereas this is more of an injury thing. As it stands now, I'm with Patrick. I've got my fair share of Hideki exposure myself, but I'm going to try and monitor the situation the best I can this afternoon.
Always fun to be monitoring the pressers on a Wednesday afternoon of a major championship, but that's what we will do. Gentlemen, on the other side, I want to get to some of our favorite bets. I want to start going through the props. I'll answer some of these questions coming in the chat right now, but first we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're back. Don't forget, today is your last chance to lock in your PGA Championship fantasy roster. Create your all-star lineup and custom groups to challenge your friends and family and compete to win the grand prize. You can play now at pgachampionship.com/fantasy. Let me run through a couple of these questions here. And Greg, I feel like this one's right up your alley from Garrett. It says, is there any advantage to the players when the wind is in the same direction all week? Now, I would argue, Greg, that it appears, if you want to dive into wind finder, it's going to be that southerly wind Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But as of right now, Sunday, it looks like it flips around and now we're getting it from the north. Any thoughts, concerns, or is this a nothing burger?
Well, I don't think there's anything that affects your strategy, right? But I do think in general for the players, if they play the same golf course 4 days in a row, that helps. It helps everybody in the field. Unless there's one particular hole that you just can't get by and you don't get any reprieve from the wind. It does appear like a south wind helps the golf course in general. I mean, those really long par fives play at least a slight help at a port. They're slight dog legs. So you do get a little bit of an angle of the wind on at least one shot, but it's not hurting on those holes. So they become reachable. And then how did the other holes play? I think 18 starts to play a little more into the wind, which will be a tougher hole. But all in all, playing the same winds for all 4 days is definitely a help.
If you have not clicked around Wind Finder, it's unbelievable. It shows you the direction. Every single hole at Southern Hills is labeled with its number. It is like God's gift to golf weather nerds. So always fun. Go spend some time over there. How about this one, Patrick? Mike Cusano asks, is Jason Day being overlooked as a DFS play? Thoughts on J-Day?
Mike. I guess you can see it, right? He kind of shows up for the PGA Championship every now and then. Won it at Whistling Straits, obviously. And I think I heard someone talk about, it was Mark Immelman actually on this show, about Jason Day Saturday at TPC Potomac, kind of not dealing with, you know, kind of the nerves and everything that went about with his mother passing and everything that Saturday. So I think he could be in for a, you know, sneaky decent week, maybe, you know, hover around like the top 30-ish. So DFS wise, I think he makes a decent play.
I have his projected ownership coming in around 5-ish% for this week for J-Day. So that might tickle your fancy. Okay, see ya. Shane Lowry or Joaquin Niemann. Let's just assume this is for the Millie Maker.
Well, I mean, I'm not looking at ownership right at the moment, but Lowry's probably going to carry a little bit more ownership than
Niemann. Yeah, I can tell
Niemann.
You here. So Lowry, yeah. Lowry's at like 19-ish, Niemann at like 14 or so.
I mean, it's really hard to get away from Lowry, but at the same time, I'm not sure I want to play many guys that are, you know, 19 and above, 20 and above. So if you're talking about the Millie Maker, it's got to be Joaquin Niemann. If you're talking about a smaller entry tournament like, the 200 SC, I think you could probably flirt with a higher owned guy. But yeah, Millie Maker, we're going the lower guy. He has similar upside at the very least. So give me Niemann at 14%.
Let's bounce over to Cameron LaFontaine. And Andy, you seem to have more Patrick Reed takes than the normal person. So this one's for you here. It just says, someone please tell me not to bet Patrick Reed top 20 at plus 450. How do you like that prop?
I don't know how I got that title, but I'll take it. You know,
I talk multiple hours a week. I feel like you definitely have more Reed takes than I do.
I am a sucker for Patrick Reed, especially on hard golf courses. You know, I was concerned about the backlash from a potential tee time disadvantage that Reed would have got, but it appears that we are on the quote unquote right side of the draw, which may suspend us from having some fun used golf facts content later this week. But I like Patrick Reed this week. I mean, I think that he still has one of the best short games in the world. I think that his ownership is going to be still very low. in DraftKings, the price has caught up to his poor play. So, you know, now you're not really paying up for him or paying much of a price at all. So, yeah, I think if you want to take a shot on him top 20 at plus 450, I certainly like that. You know, he's matched the matchup that they have him against this week. I don't know if you guys have saw this, is against Tiger. I'm kind of curious what side of that you guys would take.
All right, let's go around. Greg, Tiger or Patrick Reed?
I mean, how do you bet against? As a general rule, is you don't bet against Tiger Woods. So any prop that has, or any matchup that has Tiger in it, I usually just avoid entirely. But
you don't get that luxury here.
No, I think I would actually go Patrick Reed, who I'm very down on in general. I don't think he has his golf swing figured out, but if I'm looking for a silver lining and I'm trying to make a case for Patrick Reed, it has everything to do with the weather, more so even than hard golf courses. You look at his best finishes of the year. Sadly, one of them is a tied 26th, but it's at the Players Championship where the weather was not great. You look at what he did in Bermuda in the wind. He comes in tied second. And that's really all there is to go on this year. But wind has a way of changing your approach when you're playing, changing the way you go about doing it. And if you're going through a swing change and you've been working really hard on your swing, I hope Patrick Reed has been doing that. And we've seen some glimmers of better off the tee performance from him. So hopefully he's been working on his swing. But when you get really windy conditions and really bad weather, you kind of go into survival mode and you got to make shots and you got to get a little more creative. And Patrick Reed definitely has that ability. And I think it actually helps him. So if I'm searching for something here to be a positive for Patrick Reed, it's that. And then also, you know, a lot of reports saying short game is going to be important. I think it is. But you hope you don't have to lean on it too much. But that's definitely in the plus column for Reed as well.
Reed has actually gained strokes off the tee in four straight, but three of them have been less than a stroke over over multiple rounds. Sia, Patrick Reed or the big cat?
Yeah, and Reed's, of course, losing multiple shots on approach in that same time frame. So
yeah, it ain't pretty. Yeah.
That's a problem. But I do respect the short game. I think this is one of those things where if both of them make the cut, I think Patrick Reed ends up cruising past Tiger Woods. But if you think Reed's going to miss the cut, I think Tiger Woods is the better bet. I think they could both miss the cut. So I'm kind of hedging my bet here, but I would go with Tiger Woods because I think Reed might miss the cut, and I think Tiger is more likely to make it.
Patrick?
I assume Reed's a pretty decent dog in that one. I haven't seen the line. So
well, let's see. Remember?
He's a favorite. He's like, really? He's like minus 130. Yeah.
Oh, I'd take Tiger in that. I think it's closer to a coin flip. I'm a Sia. I could see both these guys missing the cut. I know that's not popular to say when it comes to Tiger Woods. So yeah, give me Tiger and probably better approach play.
Andy?
Patrick Reed, guys. 100%. I think Reed's going to finish. I think Reed's going to have a really good week. I'm only missing coach here to like do a bet with me because I think Reed's going to have a good week, but I think whoever was in the chat threw that out throughout the top 20 at plus 450. I probably like that bet more than I just like the matchup with Tiger because I agree. I think that there's a lot of miscut equity there with Reed, but I do think that he is the type of player that will get better as the tournament goes on. The question is, can you get him to Saturday morning? Whereas Tiger's probably the type of player that will get worse as the tournament goes on, but he's probably a safer bet to get to Saturday morning, if that makes sense.
Just a reminder that Tiger Woods gained like 3.5 strokes on approach in the first two rounds of the Masters. That could come in handy around Southern Hills. Gents, let's move on to our favorite bets of the week. This could be anything, right? Not necessarily like our Super Bowl, like the Masters is, and you get a million options, Greg, but there are props coming out the wazoo, and we'll get to some of them in a second here. You've scoured all the options. Is there one wager that stands out to you more than anything else?
Oh, one of all of them. I wrote down a bunch that I really like.
You have to pick your favorite.
I think my one favorite would probably be Anirban Lahiri at plus 125 over KH Lee and Tim Fenstra.
Yeah, you did. You did scour everything. Yes. Good job, Greg. Your mission accomplished. Bud.
Yeah. Look, I think he's in kind of underrated form. You got KH Lee coming in off of a win on a golf course that he loves. Other than that, his game hasn't been in great shape. And Lahiri has been in great shape. And you add the three ball in there with Tim Fenstra, and all of a sudden you get a pretty nice number on it. So I really like that. I did have some Hideki ones that I really liked as well that I'm now slightly nervous about. The injury stuff just makes me squirm. I don't like potential injuries. And my general philosophy is just avoid it at all costs, because you usually can. And if Hideki has a good week and I back away from him because he's dealing with a potential injury, I'm okay with being surprised by a good week out of him. But it definitely takes my Matsuyama over Xander and Finau at plus 160, which was one of my favorites. And it makes that not one of my favorites, although I think it's still in play.
How much empty the clip on Tim Fenstra?
I was going to say, can we talk about this guy like, for a second?
Have you already emptied it? Like the fact that he's in the field?
He's a PGA professional,
correct?
Right. Member of, so he qualified in Texas. Yep.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. So he's a member of the 20, the team of 20.
Yes.
And I think there are some really interesting options in the three ball bets where you get a club pro in there, and it's very unlikely for them to make the cut, but they do help your case a little bit. So you can look at that as a KH Lee versus Anirban Lahiri bet, and I think it's pretty safe to do that.
Tim Fenstra, 39-year-old from Fall City, Washington, making his first career PGA Championship start. He was the PGA Professional Champ in 2007.
Look, he can play. These guys can play. They made it here. It's quite a process for a professional to get into the PGA.
Yeah, for sure. Wow. All right. Sia Najad, your favorite bet, and good luck following that up.
Yeah, I have some contrarian bets here, but I'll just give you kind of my favorite bet, which seems like a kind of like a chalky thing to take. I've got Spieth minus 120 over Victor Hovland. You guys know I think Spieth's going to win this tournament, and I think that number's a little low. It almost seems trappish to some degree. We know what Hovland's likely shortcomings are, especially around the green. I think Spieth has the complete game, so minus 120 seems like a small gift here.
There are some pretty hot Victor takes this week. There's some pretty polarizing opinions about how he's either A, going to win or finish dead last. I assume they come via the, I assume they come because of the around the green concerns. Is this more of a fade of Victor or just that you like Spieth that much?
It's that I like Spieth that much. And if I'm just sizing them up, you know, strokes gain metric by strokes gain metric, and especially coming in with the recent form, to me this should be like minus 140. And again, I acknowledge that it almost seems a little trappish. I mean, it seems like the market or maybe some of the sharps are giving some respect to Victor Hovland for this number not getting out of hand from a matchup standpoint, but again, I think it should be minus 135, minus 140.
All right, Spieth over Victor Hovland there for Sia. Patrick, have you found a wager that tickles your fancy?
Yeah, I'm going to fade Hovland in a different market. You can find this kind of on the black web, the dark web. So do your research on that. And it's top Scandinavian, Alex Noren, 3-1. Hovland's a pretty good favorite there. He's minus 130. And then you got Henrik Stenson and Hogard as well at 5-1. So give me Noren. I like him a lot this week. I think he could potentially be a first round leader here tomorrow too. He's got that early tee time. Finished the Byron Nelson great, and it's kind of been a sneaky good season for him. He played really well at the Valspar, put together a few good starts here so far. So he's great around the green, great putter, and the irons are kind of coming to his aid this year. So 3-1 in that market, I love.
Which cryptocurrency do you have to use to put that bet in on the dark?
It's not even out yet. We're still giving out the roadmap.
hopefully not Luna, which is now no longer worth anything. Andy, please give the people the best possible wager that you could find this week.
I'm going to go with Tommy, the Prince of Shinnecock, the Don of the Hamptons, Fleetwood over Seamus Power, -110. I think it got bet up to -120. I still like it at -120. I think this one's a slam dunk. I could see Tommy Fleetwood contending in a serious way on Sunday here. I'm all in on this Shinnecock comp. I remember walking off Southern Hills and saying, I can't remember the last time I've had to hit the types of shots off short grass around the green since I played Shinnecock a couple of years ago. I think there's a lot there when you combine in the swirling winds. Of course, Tommy finished runner up there. He's got a great short game. He always gains around the green at the Masters. He just played well at the Masters. And then you have a guy like Seamus Power, who's quite literally never had a good finish in a non-birdie fest. So this is a pretty big slam dunk, in my opinion.
Seamus Power slander. Tommy Ladd for Andy Lack. All good there. Okay, gentlemen, let me run back to some of these questions in the chat here. Sia, you had a Shane Lowry question earlier. Let me just follow it back up because David is seeing that DJ, Dustin Johnson, is even money against Shane Lowry. And David says, that's a no-brainer, right?
Well, they're both on the same side of the draw. I don't know that it's a no-brainer. I think DJ is really sneaky from a DFS standpoint, but if we're just talking about matchups, does he like the DJ +100 side of that? Is that why he thinks it's a no-brainer?
David loves the +100 side of this.
Oh, I just assumed he thought it was a no-brainer because of Shane Lowry. No, I actually don't think that's a no-brainer at all. If anything, I like the Shane Lowry side of that. I'm not going to take that either way, but I think Lowry is the better end of that right now.
Chunk the Deuce, Greg says, out of the two guys who burned us last week, who's bouncing back after a missed cut? Sam Burns or William Zalatoris?
Ooh, I love William Zalatoris this week. I think William is going to have a great week. Now, a short game of concern, possibly. From a statistical standpoint, he doesn't gain around the greens the way you might like. But I know he's a very high spin player. I think in major championships, that goes a long way for him. And his record in majors and on hard golf courses is incredible. I mean, he has 11 top 10 finishes in his career in individual stroke play events. And seven of them have been on golf courses that were in the top 10 for difficulty that year. And eight of them were top 14. So he's got four top 10s in majors in only seven starts. And one of them was a WD. So Will Zalatoris is like he says, he's built for majors. And his game really, you know, he wasn't highly recruited coming out of college. His college career was good, but he was no, you know, Jordan Spieth or Scottie Scheffler even, or he wasn't a superstar. And he was marked on the Korn Ferry Tour by consistency. But when he got to the PGA Tour, and the golf courses started to get a little tougher, and you started to get more major championship type setups, his game shines. So look, it's nothing against Sam Burns. I think Will Zalatoris is playing better right now, even though he's coming off a missed cut last week. So give me Willie Z all day there.
All right, how about this one, Patrick? Because what I've learned over the years is that everyone has a one and done, and everyone has different rules, which is always fascinating. So Natalie's one and done says, this one's actually quite standard. They pick two different golfers for majors. Would you prefer to go with a horse and a sleeper? See, that's actually confusing because a horse would be, I would assume, was a favorite. But why, Patrick, when you add dark in front of it, a dark horse, would that then turn into like a longer shot? Why is that, first of all?
I'm actually colorblind, so I couldn't tell you that. But to go back to Greg's point about Will Z real quick, he actually won on this golf course in 2014, the Trans-Mississippi Championship. People forget.
Who could forget that?
If we're going to talk about the 2015 Big 12 all day, we got to, you know, give some light to the Trans-Mississippi Championship. But to Natalie's question, a horse, sleeper, or two horses? I'm going to be honest. I'm a little confused at that just in general. I like, honestly, I know Greg said he doesn't you know, mess with injuries. I kind of go towards them. I gravitate them like a moth to a light almost. And I think if people are afraid of Hideki this week, I think that could be kind of a good play. He probably won't garner too much ownership. People are going to want to go with the big dogs like Scotty and Rahm. And I love Dustin Johnson this week. I absolutely love him. He's experienced a ton of drift betting wise. I've seen him down to 35-1. And Andy said Shinnecock Hills. He was right there. He was great around the greens at Augusta. And I think his year is kind of, you know, underrated almost. He shot the course record there at TPC Sawgrass. He was a hole away from beating Scotty Scheffler in the match play. It really hasn't been as poor as a lot of people are projecting. So I think DJ could be a good pick as well.
Okay, Andy, I'm going to lump these two questions together for you here because they're both kind of similar. Lots of questions around Matthew Wolf, lots of questions around Bryson DeChambeau. It essentially boils down to, do either of them have a shot this week?
Bryson, and who is the other one?
Matthew Wolf.
Those guys are matched up together as well. I would say if you're playing 150 lineups, I think it's worth taking a shot on at least one of them and maybe putting one of them in 5 to 10. If you're, you know, playing maybe 10 lineups or 5 lineups or a couple of single entries or maybe 20 lineups, I think there's risks at low ownership that I would prefer to take. I'd probably rather take a chance on like Louis than I would on one of those guys, especially if I'm playing lower amount of lineups. I think with Wolf, I think the Oklahoma thing gets exaggerated a bit. I mean, when I went on the golf trip, it was almost 2 years ago now, to Oklahoma and played Southern and played the course that Wolf practices at, which is Oak Tree National. It's like New York to Philly. They're not close. And it's a really different golf course. And from everything I've heard from the members I've spoken to, it's not like these guys that live in Edmond, Oklahoma and practice out of Oak Tree are heading over to Southern Hills every day. I don't really see it with either of them, but I think if you are playing a ton of lineups and you want to take a chance on two guys that were in the final pairing at a US Open on a really hard golf course that was also redesigned by Gil Hance, then you could make that case.
Bryson's swing looks pretty good. I'll tell you that. I mean, I'm sure he's super rusty and I don't know if it's a super great setup for him, but I'm impressed. He's swinging the golf club. He's back, baby. We'll see how it goes this week. We'll get to the more questions in just a second. So keep them coming. But see ya on Monday. You know, we always ask you to do, some of those first round leader punts. Give us some options, baby. Now we've got tee times. We have more information about potential wind and weather and all the things that are going to make us real happy this week. Would you like to amend or at least reiterate your first round punts for this week?
Yeah. So I gave out 5 on our DFS show on Monday, as you alluded to. I'm going to give out 4 of the 5 and I'm going to change one of them. So
nice.
Four of them fortunately had morning tee time. So that works out. Jordan Spieth at the time was 35-1. It might be lower now, partly because of the wind wave, by the way. Hideki Matsuyama was 40-1 when I gave it out on Monday. I'm still fine with that, notwithstanding the injury. I certainly like him for round one more than I might like him for 4 rounds if he has a potential aggravation of an injury. Zalatoris at 45-1, I like quite a bit. And actually, Patrick gave out one that I had on Monday as well, which was Alex Noren at 80-1. I'm changing Aaron Wise. He was 110-1. I think it's fine if you want to play him, but he's in the afternoon. I think the conditions, not only from a wind standpoint, but just obviously, you know, the early tee times, you get the softer conditions. There might even be some thunderstorms that come in the night before to make it even softer for some of those morning players. But I'm taking out Aaron Wise and I'm putting in Tony Finau at 55-1. So it's Jordan Spieth at 35, Decky at 40, Zalatoris at 45, Finau at 55, and Alex Noren at 80.
That almost ensures that Aaron Wise is our first round leader, that you have sliced him out of that. Also, you are a market mover, Sia, because all of the ones that you gave out on Monday are shorter now than they were on Monday. So pat yourself on the back, my friend.
It's all me. It's all obviously all me.
Obviously. Moving markets. Let's jump into some of these nationality wagers. Always very fun. I will not tell you who he picked, but Greg, No, Greg, you can't do this one. Patrick, we'll come back to you, Greg. Patrick, right. Top Canadian. Mark Immelman already picked one of these guys. There's only three options this week. Corey Connors, minus 120. Adam Hadwin, plus 225. Mackenzie Hughes, plus 300. I couldn't let Greg have this one because we've got a conflict of interest with Adam Hadwin. I'd like to hear from you, Patrick.
Yeah, I'll take Corey Connors. I'll, you know, bite into that juice. No problem. And I've heard some murmurs of maybe some Hadwin injury myself. A lot of his matchup lines have kind of shifted pretty good.
That explains it.
Yeah. That
Greg, Greg, can you text him?
Yeah, please. I mean,
Greg, FaceTime him right now on the show.
Oh, I wish I even had his number.
Actually, Greg, did you know you called me during my live show last week and I was going to answer it live, but I didn't know if you'd be up for that.
Hey, anytime. I'm always ready for that. I'll start FaceTiming you instead, even though I usually call you from the car. That's not too dangerous, is it? Yeah,
don't do anything too dangerous. No. Okay, so if Hadwin might be, who knows? So Corey Connors over Adam Hadwin and Mackenzie Hughes for you, Patrick.
Yeah, I'll take Connors. I know Hughes had a really good major season last year, 54 hole leader there at Torrey. Looked good at the Open, but you know, I expect kind of a tee to green fest this week. And look, we've seen a lot of poor putters perform well in major championships before. So I'll gladly jump in at minus 120 for Corey Connors.
All right. You heard it here first. Corey Connors to be top Canadian. How about this one, Greg? Top Asian. Well, Hideki Matsuyama, as expected, heavy favorite here, plus 135. However, we've kind of injected a little bit of doubt into Hideki this week, which opens up potentially a lot of value, including a guy you took in a three ball earlier. So Hideki's plus 135 at Caesars, Siwoo Kim plus 600, KH Lee 7-1, Anirban Lahiri 9-1. Is there value to be had here if we think that Hideki might not be right?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Lahiri is so fascinating to me, not just because his recent form has been great. I think he's just way undervalued. He's been driving the ball phenomenally. His iron play really improved since the Players' Championship. He's done really well around the green, and what, four of the last five events, he's gained strokes on the green. But Hideki is the real problem in this one. And this is why I kind of stayed away from this, but I think there's a lot of value. If you think Hideki has an injury, yeah, I would go to Lahiri in a heartbeat. And I think Hideki could still be a really a fair play too, at plus 135. I think that's a pretty good number. So I'd be between those two. And if you're really worried about the injury, which I'm not that worried about it, quite frankly. But if you are really worried about it, then I think Lahiri is your play. And if you're not, then I love Hideki in this group.
All right. Let's broaden our horizons here and just open this up, Andy, to the rest of the world. Cam Smith is the favorite. He's plus 550. Hideki Matsuyama plus 650. Joaquin Neiman plus 800. The only three golfers in this category sub 12-1, 14-1. Corey Connors, 14-1. Jason Day and Adam Scott are both 16-1. Louis Oosthuizen is 18-1. I'm not going to read them all. There's a lot of guys who make up the rest of the world. But as Jacob scrolls through this, is there anything that stands out to you?
Adam Scott at 16-1 is interesting to me. I mean, I haven't heard a lot of chatter around him this week. And, you know, he's had a bit of an up and down season. But one thing that I've noticed with Scott is he's had the kind of spike performances that you like to see across a bunch of different categories, right? He's had a couple of weeks this year where he's hit his irons really well. He's had a couple of weeks where he's been great off the tee. He's actually had a couple of weeks where he's putted beautifully, and his putting overall has improved this year, especially on bent grass. So, you know, it's that age old thing of, can he put it all together in one week? We haven't really seen it yet, but I do kind of like the value on him at 16-1. Although I will say, I really like Cam Smith this week. And if you're looking for ways to get more exposure down on Cam Smith, although I don't think he will be highly owned in DraftKings based on the guys that are around him, Cam Smith at the top, I try to stay away from favorites in these markets, but I have the utmost respect for Cam in this category as well.
Yeah, it is interesting and certainly a strategic way to get access to more guys or to one guy in more different ways. If you're high on somebody, there's a lot of markets, especially weeks like this, that are available. The final market here that we will chat through in terms of top nationality bets, let's go to South Korea here, Sia. And we've got Siwoo Kim as the small favorite, plus 160 over KH Lee, plus 190. Then we get longer odds for Ju Hyung Kim, Bio Kim, Y.E. Yang. Do you have any strong feelings about our top South Korean?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Siwoo Kim here at plus 160. Actually, you know, it's not a super sexy number, but there's not a lot of guys he really needs to contend with. It's obviously, you know, KH Lee. I think Ju Hyung Kim, to the extent we've seen him, both, you know, in Europe or in Saudi Arabia and in on the PGA Tour, he's been okay. The few spots we've seen him, including at the Byron Nelson, his approach game was excellent. With that said, I think Siwoo Kim is the better player than the final three guys. And I think to the earlier point made by Greg, I believe, KH Lee, I just don't think is the golfer that Siwoo Kim is. So he's coming off the high of the win last week, but I think ultimately Siwoo Kim beats him out. And that's probably all he has to do here.
All right, Siwoo Kim for top South Korean. Gentlemen, this is the moment where we get to go on the record and Jacob gets to clip it and he gets to tweet it out on Sunday night to make us look like a fool, because I want to find out which star is most likely to miss the cut. And we'll see how frisky you guys are feeling here. So Caesars has the prop, obviously, to miss the cut, and the longest shots to miss the cut are obviously the best players. So, for example, Scottie Scheffler and John Rahm are both 4-1. Justin Thomas, 3.5-1. Patrick Cantlay, Rory McIlroy, 3.3-1. And then you get Cam Smith, Jordan Spieth, Hideki Matsuyama, Xander Schauffele, all at plus 300 to miss the cut. Greg, how frisky would you like to be here? You could just say Webb Simpson at plus 110. That's not very frisky. How frisky?
No, it's not frisky. And I do like Webb. I do like that Webb play, by the way. I like a Daniel Berger play. I'm a little on the fence with this one because, and I have a really frisky one, but just the thing with Daniel Berger is he tends to struggle at some of the bigger golf courses, with the exception, it seems like Torrey Pines is the exception there, but he seems to, most of his success comes on really short golf courses. I still don't know how they're going to set this place up. And I've seen, you know, the PGA Championship website has it at 7365 for its total distance, but there are so many reports, especially in the fantasy community, that it's over 7,500. And over 7,500 on a par 70 to me really worries me for a Daniel Berger. So he would be a guy that I'm looking for to miss the cut. And then the other one would be Rory McIlroy, which is shocking, and I don't really like going that way. But the reason is just is the pairing that he got. There is going to be some serious action, commotion going on around that group. And I don't think that's been great for Rory in the past. You know, you think back to 2019 Tour Championship, Tiger and Rory in the final group. Rory was playing great to get into the final group, shoots 4 over 74. That's as frisky as I would go. And it's really frisky because Rory's game is in very good shape. This is purely on the purely a play on the group that he has.
You heard it here first. Greg hates Rory McIlroy this week and guarantees he will miss the cut. Jake, clip that part. All right. Rory McIlroy plus 330 if he does indeed. See, when you're looking over the board and Jacob's showing it on YouTube right now, is there one star more likely to miss the cut?
So I'm kind of cheating with this answer, so I'll have a backup answer if you don't respect it. But I mean, Hideki Matsuyama at plus 300. I mean, we have this news. He is of the ilk that he's certainly going to give it a go. And if he does, and you know, aggravates his neck even more, then he's gone. But if you're not willing to accept that answer, then that's fine. I'll go with Xander. Listen, I think Xander's fine for this tournament. I also think Xander was really, really close to missing the cut last week at the Byron Nelson. And he has one of those games where, you know, sometimes he shows up. You know, it's almost like infamous with him where, you know, do you get Xander right or do you get Xander wrong? I'm always in the I get Xander wrong camp, but I definitely think he has missed cut equity. And I think he has top five equity too. But it's the type of volatility we saw last week where he almost missed the cut that speaks to the plus 300 number that I kind of like.
Andy, I'd like your Xander Schauffele thoughts, and I would also like the golfer that you are feeling most frisky about to miss the cut.
Well, I'd just like to go on the record and say I do not accept the 54-hole leader of Shinnecock slander and Daniel Berger. I do not accept the Rory slander, who is my pick to win. And of course, I do not expect the Xander slander either, who birdied a casual like 25 out of the last 50 golf holes that he's played. I think the answer to this question is probably Morikawa, because he's the most likely of the stars to get to lose seven strokes putting. So if you're asking me who has the biggest potential to have a week where they putt themselves out of the tournament of the elite players, to me, it's probably Morikawa.
Okay, Patrick, put a bow on this for us, my friend. The star most likely to miss the cut.
Yeah, I like the Morikawa call, actually. And I mean, Victor Hovland, they're always paired up together. That's kind of the cop-out answer. But if we want to get frisky, Patrick Cantlay's performances in big events have not been good. And I know he probably has one of the higher floors of any guy on tour, but I mean, I've been burned by him so much, so I'm definitely biased, but missed a cut at the Open Championship, missed a cut at the Players Championship. And I tend to like him on courses where kind of off the tee is very prevalent. And I think, you know, driving is going to be important, but not, it's really a second shot golf course. And we've seen his irons kind of, they can be a bit volatile at times. Obviously, he's in a great stretch of golf, but plus 330 is something that, you know, it kind of tickles me a little bit.
Oh, okay. There you go. We'll make sure to clip all of those, and I'm sure someone will look very, very silly on Sunday evening. All right. Let's run through a couple more questions here in the comments, and then we'll get out of town. This question from John is in regards to Gary Woodland, asking about a sprinkle of Gary Woodland at 150-1. I'll just toss this up. Is there a strong take on Gary Woodland this week or not?
Not strong.
No.
Medium?
I think 150 is a good number on Gary.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I agree with that too, Patrick.
I've been hurt too many times before.
You know, I will say this about Gary. He does spend some time at Southern Hills. I've heard that he's been there a couple of times in the last year. I think he's got some family in the area. So if you want to use the narrative angle there too, maybe there's something there.
All right, let me dive deeper into this. Other guys, so hold on, let me find Woodland here on Caesars. Woodland is, and by peeps. Okay, so he's 90-1 at Caesars right now, which is not 150-1. So, okay, here are the other guys at 90. So would you like Woodland or any of these other guys? Taylor Gooch, Patrick Reed, Abraham Answer, Jason Kokrak, Russell Henley. You got to pick one of those. Where are we going?
I'm going Kokrak.
I'm going the big Saudi too.
The Kokrak taking $2 million before he goes to the Saudi league. Okay, we got two votes for Jason.
So I'm going to go with, I would have said Kokrak, but I think he's on the quote bad wave. So I'm actually going to go with Gary Woodland, who's in the calmer of the waves. I like I still kind of like the number at 90. And by the way, his form has been really good. Other than the Wells Fargo, prior to that, the ball striking was great. Around the green was pretty good. Putter was erratic. The form's there.
What do you think, Greg?
I think I'd go Henley. You know, you said it, Pat. It's a second shot golf course, and his iron play has been quite good. Maybe a little worried about his putting. Absolutely. His short game's been good at times this year. I think I would lead Henley.
Russell Henley for Greg. This is a good way to cap this all off. Mike, in the chat does a great job. He says, just keeping it simple. Everybody's picked to win. That's it. I'm on the record for Hideki this week, so obviously I'm plugging ears Wednesday. That's my strategy. Patrick, who do you think wins it?
Let's go Shane Lowry. I know he's in the bad wave, but I think if anyone can get through it, it's him.
Lowry, Greg,
Scheffler.
Oh my God! Could you imagine? What we'll have to talk about on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday if Scotty Scheffler wins this thing?
Yeah, I really think he can do it.
Oh, I think he can too. See ya.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan Spieth.
Oh, I was confused for there for a second. Jordan Spieth, Andy?
Rory McIlroy over Xander Schauffele in a playoff.
Wow. That would be some firepower. That would be fun. What's the playoff? What's the PGA Championship playoff format?
Isn't it three holes?
Three holes.
Is that Open Championship?
I think the Open's four holes.
PGA is definitely three aggregate.
Okay. That was my initial thought, but I started to doubt myself. The U.S. Open, did they still do the Monday?
No, they changed.
Yeah, they changed it. Right.
I think. Yeah. I want to say.
Yeah, they might be three aggregate too or something.
Jacob even knows the holes for the PGA Championship. He says three hole aggregate, 13, 17, and 18. That's pretty.
Do any of you guys remember the last time that we had a playoff in a major?
Well, the first thing that popped into my head is Rose lost the playoff at Augusta, right, to Sergio.
Sergio, yeah,
and that was 17. The first one that popped into my head. But there's, 17. I feel like there's got to be one more recent than that. Maybe there's not.
Gosh, I feel like there does have to be, but I've drawn a blank too.
Yeah, oh, God. The first one that came to my mind was Spieth slam in 15 with Zach Johnson at the Open.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that was 15. I think that's the most recent.
Wow. All right, sounds so like we're due. I feel better about my pick already.
Are we due? Wow, I think that might be it. All right, I'll have to dive deeper into that, but that's pretty good. Any final thoughts before we get out of here? PGA Championship, Wednesday, anything before we go?
Nothing, gentlemen.
Been a pleasure working with you, boys.
Yeah.
All right.
Rick, I've got something.
Please.
You were asking about the term dark horse. So the term began as horse racing parlance for a racehorse that is unknown to gamblers and thus difficult to place betting odds on. The first known mention of the concept is in Benjamin Disraeli's novel, The Young Duke, back in 1831. There you have it.
That is very good. Thank you. Here's a fun fact. There is a numbering system based off of the word black horse, which is black horse is a word where there are no repeat numbers. So there is almost like an international numbering system where if you see B, that would be one, or I don't know if they start at zero. I think they start at one. L would be two, A would be three. They actually use it on Rawlings baseball gloves. So if you have a Rawlings baseball glove, you can open it up and see the date, the date it was manufactured, because the black horse numbering system is on every single glove. It's a fun fact for you.
The first cut, wow. Ladies and gentlemen.
Where else are you getting this type of knowledge? Honestly. Producer Jacob, thank you very much. Does all the hard work behind the scenes. Greg Ducharme, available on Twitter at The Real GFD. Sia Najad, available at Sia Najad. Andy Lack at ADP Lack Sports. Patrick McDonald at Amateur Status. Do you prefer amateur or amateur?
Well, it's a running joke with me and my friends, because I said amateur one time when we were talking about golf, and they're like, what the heck did you just say? It's called amateur. And I was like, nah, it's amateur.
There you have it. I knew it had to be something. Thank you for coming on. Much appreciated. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.